Mr. Harry Higton, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Higton?
Yes, I was born in Ilkeston, Derbyshire, on the 7th of March, 1919.
And could you tell me a bit about what your father did for a living and your family background?
Yeah, father was a train driver at Stanton Wine Works near Ilkeston. At that time, it was the largest iron works in the world. They are the one who built the Mersey Tunnel. Their speciality is frying pipes, water pipes, gas pipes. It's transported all over the world. Eventually, they went on to concrete pipes. I'd rather do both. The firm had been taken over by the French, another takeover.
And how many were there in your family?
Originally, 11. Four of us left.
So nine of you youngsters. And where were you in the nine?
I was number one.
The first?
I was first.
And can you give us an idea of what it was like growing up in Ilkeston? I presume you were growing up there.
Growing up in Ilkeston? Yes. Having never been anywhere else at that time, Ilkeston, I suppose, it was the rest of the world. We didn't know anything. The furthest we ever went was the bus ride to the Trent side. And that was an adventure. That was a day out. And that was what we couldn't afford. Father died at the age of 42. I was just 11. End of the family. There was three younger brothers, and the rest of them died in infancy. I think the most one attained of the youngsters was about 11 months. Most of them died 6-7 months.
From what? Just
I would say, looking back, we didn't use the word then, but looking back, it was malnutrition.
You were.
I mean, a widow, with all those kiddies to look after her. She did a bit of sewing, a bit of washing and whatnot, but you can't keep a family together on that.
So times were very hard for you.
Times were very, very hard. Eventually, moving on a little bit.
What about education before we do, were you?
Education, yes, I went to Benham Primary School.
How did you do?
I did very well. Then I went to a senior school. I did exceedingly well.
What were you good at?
Drawing. English particularly, and arithmetic. 11 plus. I passed for secondary school. Couldn't even afford to go. So I went to the central school instead. Holcroft Central School. I suppose today you call it technical school. It's now been erased and the new motorway and Ilkeston runs through it. Again, I passed me off to junior. Was a high school 14.
Now, what about sport? Were you interested in that at school?
Cricket. I wasn't. I was on a little chap, and I got knocked out towards football, so I stuck to cricket. I enjoyed cricket.
What did you do? Bat or bowl?
Bit of both. Yeah. So I was a fast bowler. I did enjoy the cricket.
Who did you play for?
Only local teams. Rally. I went away for 14 at the Rally. Rally Cycle Works.
In Ilkeston?
No. Rally is at Renton in Nottingham. I bought a rally bike, which I managed to get for half a crown a week. And I pedalled 8 miles in the morning to work and 8 miles home, 8 miles home at night. 12 or 6 months a week.
And what were you actually doing?
Assembling hub brakes for the Sterling Archer hub brakes. I couldn't afford to go on the bus, it was 10 pence a day. 6 days a week was 5 bob, and it didn't leave much out of the lady, so it was the bike.
Did you enjoy the work?
I enjoyed something more than anything. The language was a little bit ripe. I remember Mum saying to me, because my mum was a church on the lady, and she said, "My lad, when you start there," she said, "you'll be shocked if you're here." You take it all in stride. But yes, Nottingham Lenten. The characters, really Nottingham, and the speech was different to Ilkeston. But more than 8 miles, and you speak a different language. But it was good though. It was good as gold. And I stuck it till I was 16. And at 16, I was old enough to join the stamp monument.
That's where your dad had worked.
That's where my dad worked. And
that's what you wanted, is it?
That's what I wanted.
Why was that?
Grandfather was a blacksmith. Father was in the iron foundry. So was one of his brothers. It was more of a family tradition. If I can jump on a bit, the two youngest brothers also followed me into Stanton and put up the Bakerton family, which would come later.
And what did you do in the ironworks? What was your job?
I was in the pipe machines, making 6-inch pipes, 8-inch pipes, 12-inch pipes, and the largest one they could spin up that time was a 12-inch. And four men could produce 30 pipes in 1 hour. A six-inch pipe made a ton, and we could produce 30 in an hour. It was hard work. But
the machine was automated, was it? And what did you actually do?
What did that? Yes, the crane came along. The machine, the nearest thing I can tell you, it looked like a railway engine. About the same length, and it ran on rails. It was an incline, about 6 inches lower at the front end than the top end. And in the centre, spinning, was... It was a pipe and it was made of chrome nickel steel. And if you had a 6-inch pipe, the inside diameter of that machine would be 6 inches. The water jacket went round it, and it looked exactly like a railway engine, especially when it moved. It would come to the top with its incline, with a ton of iron fed into it in a hopper, and as it slowly went down the incline, the iron would run into the inside of the pipe, which spun round rapidly. Centrifugal force would keep the iron to the side. It would spin for 2 minutes inside its water jacket. A pair of calipers would be put in the bottom to grip the pipe. The machine would run backwards and leave the pipe behind. And it would bend like a banana because it was that hot. And you do that 30 times an hour. And you can imagine the heat which came out of 30 pipes. Four men working that, one at the top, one at the bottom, and two at the side, making sure things are all right. And it's incredible to think now that we went two shifts, 6 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, and 4 in the afternoon till 6 next morning, 14 hours. And at the end of that, we would get a pretty sum of £3 plus bonus, which would probably be off the ground.
And that's all. So it's still a lot more than you were getting at the rally.
It certainly is, yes.
Were you unionised?
We were unionised.
Which union were you?
Mine workers. National mine workers.
Yeah. Mine workers, not the steel workers.
Steel. It was an amalgamation. Being in a mining area, it wasn't steel workers, it would be the iron and the mine. I stayed there until about 6 months before the war started. And they said, "Come on, we've got a job for you." And I worked there with them there. And the night shift, I told them the whole area standing, just keeping my eyes open, make sure there's nothing come toward. Infiltration was worried about more than anything.
What do you mean?
Infiltration. There's another war coming on. Sabotage, infiltration. And on day shift, I'd get my bike out and I'd come across Chesterfield, anywhere where the stamp employee left the office and had gone to work somewhere else. They wanted to know what he was doing and where he got to. And I stuck there for 6 months one day, tore around on the bike. While we left, it was all to do with the security business.
So you weren't on the normal shifts at all? Or no. You're just on...
For the last 6 months before the war started.
So what did... So if someone left Stanton and went to work in Chesterfield, you'd follow them?
They want to know why. They want to know why. You know, it was the old, keep mum, don't say a word. Well, they begin to get zippers. You can understand it was the biggest time where she knew it, and it was open at night, and when the furnace was unloaded at night, it sort of blowing the sky for miles around. And I think we got a little bit worried. And might have been job for the last 6 months before the war started.
And what, did you ever find any... Body that was untoward?
No, nothing at all. Everybody was. And another thing I had to find out, was he in the Territorial Army? Because they knew very shortly they'd lose him. And they wanted somebody to replace him. It was for a survey, I suppose. But it was a good little job. And then I got the call.
Were you on the same wage?
Yes. And we got the bike allowance as well. Yeah.
And it was just people who'd left?
Some of them had been called up, of course. Some of them had been called up. Now, those had been called up, they wanted to know because Stanton, I think they put in half a crown a week into the conference fund, which wasn't a lot, but I mean, the wages weren't a lot. But there was a conference fund. I know when I came back, I went down. And I smelt it, and I started to go on. And they said, oh, well, you better come into the office, we've got something for you in the conference room. I think I got a fire out of them after 7 years.
Oh, I will be coming back. So you were doing this for 6 months, this job, up to the start of the war. Now, just two other things. Were you in any of the boys' organisations, things like the Boys Brigade, Boy Scouts, or any boys' organisation?
No, I wasn't in the Scouts, because... As kid is, I'm saying that my mother was CS Army, father saw us now, and he didn't believe in Boy Scouts, he said we're too military. So we went out to join the Scouts.
Were you in anything else?
No, only the other thing, I was in a concert party at the chapel choir.
What was the concert party? Putting on little shows,
putting
you mean?
Putting on little shows, yeah. So chiefly Christmas.
That was an interest to yours.
That was an interest, yeah. We did have a little boys club there in the chapel, but it was not like the Scouts. It was a little bodybuilding club. And we go out for weekend camping. But it was there's only the 12 of us, 12, 14. The only little chapel. Now we pulled down to make a roundabout.
And any other hobbies or interests from when you were young?
Camping.
Just on your own?
Four or five of us, we go to Watt Stanwell.
To where?
Watt Stanwell, near my park, on bikes. And it was sixpence per person per night. Yeah. And we were allowed to leave the camping gear in the farmer's barn. So we didn't have to carry it home. And we start as soon as we've ever got nice hot food, but we'd go Friday night until Sunday night. That was providing I wasn't working on the late shift Friday night. Yeah. But, yes.
No.
I think I never saw this seaside until I was under 15. I mean, to me, what's time when the River Derwent, fantastic. Yeah.
What now? You were a young chap in the 30s. Were you aware, with the job at the end of the 30s, obviously you were then, but were you aware of Nazi Germany, Hitler, chance of a war, things like that?
Yes, I was. Very much aware. I remember going down to Nottingham on the forest, the army was doing a show, recruiting show. I was very impressed. I went home and I said to my mum, she says, you want my lad, I'll have you soon enough. And I said, you know what I mean? Yes, I was very interested. I was very interested. I'm trying to remember the name of the chap in there. Come to me. He wrote a monthly treatise on battle practice. You probably read the book. It escaped me at the moment, the chap in there. But he was a chap who wrote about time warfare.
Fuller.
Which in there was cut up.
Fuller. Or Little Heart.
Little Heart. Little Heart was one. And I was an avid reader of Little Heart. And I've not jumped too soon because I'll come back with later.
But right, you had an interest though. Okay. But you hadn't joined the territorials, your mum wouldn't let you.
No, that's quite right, no. I didn't join the territory.
Now,
looking at it from my point of view, Dad's gone. I'm the oldest there. She's got three more coming up. Two of them still at school. Naturally, I can understand looking back why she wanted to keep me there.
I presume you had to contribute some of your wages to the family income.
Yeah. Oh, yes, sir. When I first started work, I had a shilling. 12 pence, I don't know. I'd take me to picture Saturday night, and that was it. I think most ever I went, before joining the most ever I was 6 shillings per week.
The rest did all go to the family budget.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, what about the declaration of war? I mean, you were working on this job going round. Calling on people still. What about the actual declaration? Do you remember the day war broke out?
That's a old tale, the day of war broke out. My mother said to me, I can. And I have to remember the day the papers came as well.
What about the war first? What do you remember of that?
I remember the siren going and everybody's cooking. But I'm afraid that I didn't get out of bed. I know it's too warm. Yeah, I'm not getting up. Yeah. We lived the house we had then. Actually, we were running a chip shop. Built family working together around this chip shop. And there was a big cellar underneath where we used to rumble old potatoes. You can't remember the old, you put potatoes in and rumble them around. So, and my brother Alan, 2 years younger than me, he built down there a brick retreat down the side for everybody to go in. And I was talking to a chap who a couple of years ago now owned the property, and I said, is the shelter still down the cellar? Oh yes, he said, that's my dark room. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Would you help in the chip shop much?
Yes, I did. I had to do. I did all the rumbling and the potatoes. My brother did the specking.
Specking?
Specking. Iron, you know, when they come from the lumber, the skin's gone, but all the irons are still there. So that was it, specking. Yeah. And then we had the old chipping machine. We put the potatoes on once, and yes. I remember my brother and myself and do the actual chipping. Mum looked at the shop. She had a gas stove in the kitchen, the old fashioned gas stove. And she made meat pies. Next to all the butchers. And he supplied her with the minced meat. And Mum made, she'd made anywhere up to 100 meat pies every morning. And myself took in some peas. Yes, and she did a good trade. People came from miles around for the took the meat pies. And things all went well, and one night there was such a commotion, and one of the gas pipes had come off, and the flames everywhere. Mum was in a nice state, shouting, and I just picked the rug up and knocked it over, you know, what went on. She had to stop business for that night. She didn't like to stop business. She said, can we leave people waiting to come in? I said, sorry, Mum. get them plumbing in the morning and tell them to come back tomorrow. And, she ran a good business. Plus, she died 1941.
Yeah.
I was at Penkridge in Staffordshire.
Sorry?
I was at Penkridge in Staffordshire.
What was the chip shop? In 1941. Yeah. Yeah, we'll come round to that. You still, the chip shop was in Ilkeston, though.
Yeah. Down Lofton, Lofton's Avenue.
How had she got the money to afford it? Because I thought you were. She borrowed the money.
She borrowed the money to open it. And inside 2 years, she paid it back.
She'd done well then.
She did very, very well indeed. Yeah.
Now, did your job carry on after the declaration of war? Going and checking on people, or what happened then?
I've got my papers.
You got your papers nearly straight away then?
Yeah,
straight away.
Yeah.
What, sort of September?
September.
What do you remember? You said you remember the day your papers arrived. Yeah. What was that?
I came in from work, put the bike away, I said, come in, my lad, your dinner's ready for you, all on the table, marvellous dinner. Never had pudding, but I had nothing else pudding for the day. And when I left it, the woman says, "Hey, you order that?" "Yes." "Well, they are." "Would you like to open it?" And you call it. Yeah. I'd already didn't have my medical carnival day in office and had to go to the employment depot and check.
Was it a strict medical or was it just whether you were breathing?
Very strict.
Oh, it was a proper one then?
Yeah, proper one.
And how did you feel when your papers arrived? I mean,
excited, I think.
What about your mother? She'd not wanted you to go before the war.
No, she put the socks off. Yeah.
And where did you have to report?
Derby.
And this was September 39?
September 39. The four of us met on Ilkeston Marketplace, four lads, all got papers to go to Derby, bus pass.
Do you remember their names?
Yes, it was Tommy Bridges. Stuart Hartley. And Eddie Horton.
And they all came with you. Had you known them from the town?
I had known Tommy Bridges. I knew Stuart Hartley. You know, he lived nearby. Eddie Horton was the only one I didn't know to that town. But I was the only one who came out.
Now, what do you remember about when you reported to Derby Barracks? How did they sort of, there you are, a civilian 1 minute, and then they take you through the barracks and you're not. How did they take you in and kit you out and sort you out?
We got there and... Matthew and the coffee in the morning. And we had a mug of cocoa and a dripping sandwich. And Matthew had some pit mums. And then they took us into the drill hall and talked to us and told us what to expect.
Do you remember anything of what they said or what?
Yes, again, funny. He was talking about biscuits. We'd take you along and dry biscuits, because they're all for people to pass the biscuits, you know what's coming on. Yeah. And they said, yeah, I'll get hold of them. It was a mattress in three parts, they were the biscuits, because they struggled with them.
Did you have to stuff them yourself, or were they ready stuffed?
No, they were ready stuffed. They were never the territory of ready stuffed. And then they took you into the back room, and there's your bed, put the biscuits on, that locker is yours. And then we draw the kit, and then they showed us how to make the bed up and line the kit. Right, we'll leave you to it now. Breakfast will be at 7 in the morning. We want to see you up bright, washed and shaved, and we'll march into your breakfast. Yes.
How many were in the barrack room about?
30.
And that first night, how did you feel you fitted in with them?
First night was chaos.
Why was that?
Lights out at 10, people go to the toilet, coming back into a dark room, all strange, you've got to find the bed. People talking in the street, some of them snoring. It was absolute chaos. Yeah.
Okay. Were they the same sort of lad as yourself overall? You know, I mean,
yeah.
Did you feel uneasy, or were you pretty much at home with it? Right.
We don't need it because first, we've got to get on with this before. You've probably always had your own room before. And here you are with 30 of them, all looking around, you know, all right. Yeah. It, I can still see the comedy of it, you know. Yeah. Some people just get them left and took the trousers off and got nothing else. Okay. Many people didn't wear pants in those days, you couldn't afford them. And then you see another bloke with long johns on them. Somebody with boxes of holes on. Yeah. But it was like a lot of them, aren't they?
Were you a bit shy and embarrassed?
Not really, no, no. No, we're living with three bitches, borrowing things. Yeah.
And the next morning, your first meal in the army, breakfast, how did that strike you, after your mother's cooking?
It's spartan.
What, not enough of it?
Not enough, you know. You went and you put your tin plate and your tin plate and knife and pork. You just put in the proper, put your slice of bacon on. Well, the first thing that happened, you got a cold tin plate. You put a slice of bacon on. From the time you picked up your mug of tea and your two slices of bread, your bacon stuck to the plate. and then the plate with marmalade in on the table. Of course, the first was a knife in. Pass it down and don't go to the bottom and all that. We soon learned which end of the table to sit. Yeah.
What about the... So there wasn't that much of it. What was the quality like?
Good.
So it was more than not enough? Then.
Yeah. At 11 o'clock, we did stop and we go to the cookhouse. Pick your mother's cake. And I will say then, leave unks and bread in the pin. If you want another one, you can go back and get one. They didn't underfeed you.
Well, might as well stay with food. Skip into lunch or dinner, whichever you call it in the north. Yeah. What about that?
Mostly it would be thick soup. I suppose it was easier for them to do that than anything. The thick soup, they've got razmak soup after the Indian. So, and they'd finish up. You probably have rice pudding.
And then tea?
Tea. You got your mug and then the orderly will bring down one great big jug of tea at the end. Help yourself to tea. Want some more, go and get some more. That's fine.
And what about your evening meal?
You got that was your main meal at lunchtime. Tea time, you probably get bread and cheese. Looking back, they were learning as we were learning. And suddenly, you got this big influx of younger coming in, and it was all where did you go? But